Jesus, we thank you and praise you because you are worthy of our praise. Even though we've stopped praise and worship, as we just go through the rest of this morning, as we go through this day, as we go through the week in front of us, we continually make the effort to lift you up and praise you, to say thank you, to not just think it in our minds, but to actually say with our lips, thank you, Jesus. We praise you because you are worthy of praise. We praise you for this life that we have. We praise you for the salvation you've given us. We praise you for the power and the authority that you've invested in us by your name. We praise you and thank you for the blessings you pour out, for the favor. We thank you for the people that you surround us with, that we can just share your word with and have them share the word with us. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to take your word, to go out into the harvest fields, and to take your word with truth and to see people set free. We thank you for the love that you have for the people that we love and that don't know you, but we lift them up. We thank you and praise you for this and everything that just runs through our minds right now as we think about you and your goodness. We thank you and praise you. You be glorified, Jesus. And in this time this morning, you be glorified. As we spend time in your word, you be glorified because we are ready with hearts that are open to receive from you today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You guys can be seated. Well, a couple of things. A couple of visitors. My mom and my sister-in-law are here this morning, so they're in the very back. So make sure you say hi to them before they go. And say nice things about me because I don't want any stories getting back to my brother that he can use against me later. So just always say good things. Also, some friends of Donna's and mine from years and years and years ago, which makes us sound really old. They still look very young. Donna looks young. I've got the gray. John hasn't gotten the gray yet, but starting a little bit of it. John and Paul are friends of ours that have gone back and they're here with their kids, Becca and Daniel. They've been missionaries to China for 21 years. John and I used to work together. Mike Webb is here too. Brother Mike, how you doing? Good to see you. John knows. John knows. Like, wow, this is like a reunion of yes, or WJYM days. And yes, FM too. The three of us have all been at both these radio stations together. Anyway, John and I started, how many years ago was that? John came on as my program director at Yes FM. John, why don't you come on up here? JYM. It's one of those stations. They all blend together after a while. Make John and Paula and his kids feel welcome this morning. Okay, so John and I met when he came on as our program director at WJYM Radio. And I forget how many years we worked together.
Just 2 years ago.
2 years ago. It seems that way. John is one of those guys because they're in China an awful lot. And I can go a year and sometimes even more and not seeing John. But the second that we're back together, it feels like we'd just seen each other a month ago. I mean, it just is always that connection is there. Why don't you tell people what you guys do, what your mission is in China?
Well, China is a country that you can't go into as a missionary officially. And so everybody who's in China is doing something else as part of their visa. So we work as educators in the Chinese education system, but really a lot of our energy is in sharing the gospel, discipling young leaders. And now as we head back, we're going to a brand new city for us. And the mission we are hoping to see accomplished is to start to train some young Chinese who will be able to go as missionaries from China to other places, particularly with an emphasis on the Middle East.
What was it that made you guys decide 21 years ago that, you know what, I think we're going to leave everything in this life behind and go take our family to China for the next two decades?
Bad experiences in radio. you know, it's interesting. When I was in college, I met a lady who had been a missionary in China before the communists. And she had an impact, and sort of the Lord used that as a seed for me. And we were actually at JYM, and there was a group that had sent in a PSA, a public service announcement, and one day it came up in the rotation. I pressed the button, and I'm like, you know, maybe that's for us. And so we called, and really took a couple years from that point forward before the pieces aligned. And then working as the program director at YesFM, and the Lord just called us at that season to say, now's the time. And so it was tough. I loved radio. I still love radio. I can't listen to the radio without analyzing and critiquing. Even Chinese radio, I analyze and critique. But it's you're leaving one joy and being able to go to another one and see some new things. Yeah.
So how do you guys actually do that then when you're in China? Because when you look back at the 21 years, I'm sure there's testimony upon testimony, but essentially what you're doing is not any different than what we do here. I mean, we are just investing. We all have different jobs and occupations, but we still are out in the harvest field to win the lost and get the word to people.
Well, one conviction that we have is when, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. A lot of times we think of the going as the verb in that, and certainly go is a verb, but really the thing that is commanded is to make disciples. And so that command is a friend of mine calls the everyday commandment. So it doesn't matter whether you're working in country A or country B, doing a regular 9-to-5 job, involved in ministry. It doesn't really matter. If we are followers of Christ, we do not get a free pass on that command. No matter where we are, no matter what we do, we are in. The imperative is to make disciples. The cool thing about that verse is that he says, and lo, and so when he talks about, and lo, lo means behold. And so what he says is make disciples and lo, or behold, or look at me. And so he's saying, as we make disciples, keep our eyes on him. And so you can kind of unpack that for yourself when you get back, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. But there's the as you go, make disciples. And the command is to make disciples and keep our eyes on Jesus in the process. And, you know, some people get to do that in other cultures because there's a specific skill set that's required to cross cultural bridges. Some people don't have that skill set, but they have other skill sets. It doesn't matter. We still have the same command. And so we get the privilege of doing that in a cross-cultural environment. Yeah. Now we are hoping to help Chinese learn that skill set to take, hopefully, to the Middle East. And go places that people like most of us in this room who are Caucasian can't go. And so it's a privilege to be a part of that.
One of the best parts, memories, one of the things I love most about John is when we worked together at, it is WJYM.
It all blurs.
Yeah, they all kind of run together.
It's because you're old and there's gray hair. Yeah.
One of my favorite memories is every Friday, John and I, as soon as we got there in the morning, we'd get into my car and we'd drive to the river and we would sit by the river and we would pray for hours. We would sit there for hours and we would just run down a list of things that we knew to pray for, people we knew to pray for. We did that Friday after Friday after Friday for years and years and years. And the amazing thing, I learned so much from that because as years go by and we would look back at the list of things that we prayed for and you would see God moving in all of those individual lives and in all those prayer requests as well. So, John, it's always a joy. How can people, if they want to be a part of what you guys do, how can they do that?
Well, first of all, pray. That's obviously the biggest thing. We do raise money to do what we do. The part that we do that's the occupation doesn't really cover the expenses, and so we have a lot of expenses, and we're currently actually dealing with that now. So if you're interested in that, if there's something that the Lord put on your heart, you can ask myself or my wife, Paula, who's raising her hand.
And we can she's not raising to, it very high.
We can tell you how to do that, how to participate with us in that way. But you know, we just trust God with those things, and He's good. It never is like an easy, predictable ride. But I think that's part of the faith journey, and so it's always a surprise to see how God meets those needs, often through people that you wouldn't expect, you know. So it's easy to think, oh, it's the rich people who do that, but really it's like everyday people that are a big part of that. And so if that's an interest, let us know.
Jesus, we thank you and praise you for John, for Paula, for Becca, for Daniel. We speak your favor, your protection, your safety, and your fruitfulness over all that they do and what they put their hands to and what they've already put their hands to. I thank you that there still will be fruit that comes up, even from the seeds that they planted 21 years ago. There still is fruit that is being harvested. We thank you that you meet every one of their needs. We praise you for what they're doing. We lift them up to you. In your name, Jesus, amen and amen. Thanks, John. Yep. Give John and Paula again a hand. I really respect the work that they're doing. And you'll notice I didn't ask John to tell any stories about when I was at when we worked together because I wanted to keep some credibility. You have to have some credibility for me as I stand here. All right, so It's kind of funny. I love the way the Lord leads me in the things that I'm to share with you. He's so timely in the things that he does in preparing the message that I'm supposed to share with you on an ongoing Sunday basis. I'm amazed that he will take me places and I'll see things. I'll happen to go to a word that just fits in or ties in. It's just amazing to me how he prepares it. So last week, we finished that 3-week series talking about thorns, which, by the way, just speaking for myself, I love that. I learned so much from the Holy Spirit in preparing that and in sharing that with you. So thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm ready to receive more. Always give me more. But that was last Sunday. And then Monday, I'm just spending time in the Word. I told Caleb that usually it's like Tuesday by the time I finally, you know, hear from the Lord on what I'm supposed to speak on the next Sunday. As you can tell, I'm not planning really far ahead. I just want to do what the Holy Spirit says. And Monday, I was just sitting there reading the Word of God in my own time, and I'm reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 29. And I'm there for, only the reason can be is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because I haven't been in Psalm 29. In fact, I haven't even been in the book of Psalms for a while. I've got a good friend that I see on an ongoing basis. And he has just spent like the last 6 months, every time I see him, he's in Psalms, and he's telling me all these great things about Psalms. He's so excited about Psalms. It's like, great, that's really good, but that's just not where I've been at. So the only reason I would be in Psalm 29, is just because the Holy Spirit had me there. And I want to read to you, it's a short psalm. I'm just going to read the first three verses to you. This is Psalm 29, verses 1 through 3. Get ready with your Bibles, because I do have a lot of verses this morning. I think we average about 10 a week. I think I have 13 this week, just so you know. So expect some paper cuts this morning. We'll pray for that later, though. Psalm 29, verses 1 through 3. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord, now listen to this, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. Now, when you read that, that may not have caused you to stop and take notice. But when I read that, especially verse number 3, when I read that Monday, that literally made my breath catch in my throat. It was literally one of those moments you go, huh, wow. Because verse 3 uses some of the exact same words that I was sharing last Sunday with you. Some of the same words that I was sharing at what happened to be my favorite point from last week's message. So for those of you that weren't here last week, I apologize. I'll try to give just a little bit of an update. But you may remember, if you were here last week, you may recall that at one point, and we were talking about being out in the harvest field and cutting back those thorns by the power of the Word of God, cutting back those thorns of life so that we could help set people free and cutting back the thorns in our life. And if you remember, at one point I described this to you. I said, so we're in the harvest field and we have the Word of God and we're learning to deliver in Jesus. And then I ask you this question. I said, have you ever spoken the Word of God over someone's life or prayed for someone? And when you spoke those words, the words just felt kind of weak and powerless when you spoke them. Have you ever felt that way? Okay, good. There's a few heads nodding this time. Last week there wasn't, so I was a little hesitant to ask that question again. I thought this might be a teaching just for me. But we've all been there when you do speak and it just feels like those words, they feel like they're weak. I feel like there's just no power to them. And the point that I was trying to make is when we speak words, when we speak His Word in faith, even when it doesn't feel like there's any power, any strength to those words, even when those words feel weak, they are not. Because they're backed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the words are never weak in spite of what they feel like. And then I gave you an example from Ezekiel because we were reading the book of Ezekiel. I just want to point out one of those verses. So this is Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 12. I'm going to read this to you and put it up from the Amplified Bible. Ezekiel 3, verse 12. If you want to follow me on Sundays, you have to have a you have to have a New King James Bible and an Amplified Bible. Those are like the two that seems like we're always using. And they threw Don off this week because I also added something from the Expanded Bible, which nobody has. Yeah, made it a challenge for Donna. So Ezekiel 3, verse 12 says this. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from His place above the firmament. So we learned this last week. When you speak in faith, when you're speaking His word in faith, the Holy Spirit moves through your words with power. The words that I used last week, and this is why this caught my attention when I read Psalms chapter 29, because the words that I used last week about that were, the Holy Spirit, when you speak words of faith, the Holy Spirit moves through your words like a thunderous voice in the spiritual realm. Doesn't that kind of sound a little bit like what we just read? That's why it caught my attention. Now, Ezekiel said to us, as we saw last week, he said that, and as we just saw in that verse, he says that we hear that as a great rushing. And last week I pointed out, when you read that in Ezekiel, and Ezekiel says it was a great rushing, talking about the voice of the Lord, the power of the Lord's voice, and he said a great rushing. And that made me think about the day of Pentecost and Acts chapter 2 and the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's what it made me think about. So let's look at that. This is Acts chapter 2, verse number 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, remember, we also learned last week, and this is almost the end of some of the review points, but if you remember last week, we also learned that the Hebrew word for spirit, indicating the Spirit of God, the Hebrew word for spirit is the same word that the New Jewish Society publication of the Hebrew Bible, they use that same word. The word that we use for spirit in the Hebrew is the same word that they use for their Hebrew Bible for the word wind. In fact, I looked it up in Strong's, and it's the same word. The word that means spirit, indicating the Spirit of God, is the same word that means wind. That's really awesome to me. If you think about this, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was in the sound of the mighty rushing wind. The Holy Spirit wasn't in the wind itself. It was in the sound of the mighty rushing wind. Not the effects, not the actual effects of the wind, as we would suspect. We tend to be looking for the effects of the wind. We tend to believe when we see the effects of something. But when you speak the word of God, when you speak His word in faith, when you're speaking the word of God in faith, even though you may not see the effects of the wind, you speak the word of God in faith, regardless of what you see, even if you're not seeing the evidence of the moving of the Holy Spirit, you still speak the word of God because you know that your words are backed by the thunderous voice, the thunderous power of the Holy Spirit. I love this imagery because when you speak the word of God in faith, it doesn't matter how you feel when you speak those words because your words are backed by that great thunderous voice of the Holy Spirit, that thunderous voice in the spiritual realm. Now, something I didn't tell you about last week because it wasn't relevant to the message last week, but it was in my research. And then when I read Psalm 29, it all of a sudden became illuminated to me by reading that verse. The word that we have, the Hebrew word that means both Spirit of God and wind, that word is ruach. That's the Hebrew word, ruach. Here's the first place in the Word of God. Here's the first place in the Bible where you see the word ruach used. It's in Genesis. It's in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. You don't get much earlier in the Bible than this. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. This is how it reads. Familiar to all of us. The earth was without form and void. and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Familiar to us, right? When it says, and the Spirit of God, that is the word ruach. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the ruach, the Spirit, the wind, was hovering over the face of the waters. The earth at this point was in a state of chaos. Darkness was over the face of the entire earth. The Spirit of God, the wind, the power of the Holy Spirit, as we just saw evidenced from Pentecost. That Spirit, that wind, that power of the Holy Spirit was over the face of the deep. Now tell me, does that verse not sound like Psalm 29, verse 3? Let's look at that again. Look at Genesis. Look at this before he takes it off. Read that again, then we'll look at it. Genesis 1, 2. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, Psalm number 29, verse number 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is over many waters. I love that. Now, let's look at the same verse again, but here's where the expanded Bible comes in. Thank you, Donna, for doing all the work on this. The expanded Bible says, the Lord's voice, thunder, is heard over the sea, the waters, a symbol of chaos. Think about that for a moment. The sea, the waters, a symbol of chaos. The glorious God thunders. The voice of God thunders over the chaos. The Lord thunders over the ocean, many mighty waters. The voice of God creatively turns chaos into order and peace. That is the same power of the Holy Spirit that is in you, that you give voice to when you speak His word, when you're speaking these promises in faith, that turns the chaos of your life into order, into victory, into deliverance. I love those verses. David is just about to chronicle for us the power of the voice of God as he goes through the rest of Psalm 29. But let's look at that power that he speaks of by looking at the next verse. So this is Psalm 29, verse number 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Listen, the same Spirit that hovered over the face of the waters at creation is the same Spirit that came down from heaven at Pentecost. And it's the same Spirit that dwells in you and I and operates with power through each one of us. This is the power that David is talking about as he goes through Psalm 29, which we're going to look at in just a second. This is the power. Remember this. The same Spirit that David's talking about here. The same Spirit that's being talked about in Genesis chapter 1. This is the same Spirit from Pentecost. The same Spirit that resides in us with power through us. Amen? Somebody should have responded to that. This is the power that we have. The authority of Jesus' name. All right, so let's look at that power. Let's read Psalm 29 in its entirety. It's only 11 verses long. Psalm 29, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in beauty and holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. That's talking about lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare, And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with faith. David is describing there. When you read that, what he's describing the power of a storm that David actually witnessed. You read this, and he's very specific about the things that he saw and the things that he experienced. He's talking about a storm that's unlike a storm that you and I have witnessed in our lives. I mean, picture, if you will, picture yourself in the midst of Hurricane Katrina. And you're there through all of the thundering, all of the danger, all of the hazards, all of the fear, all of the terror. You're there through all of that, and you survive. And you're making a commentary about it later. Can you picture that? Yeah, that's still not it. Because what David is saying is, David says, this was like the flood. He's talking about a storm that he saw, that he witnessed, that was so powerful, it was not the flood, but it was like the flood. It was powerful like the flood. Powerful by the power of God. This is what David is saying that he experienced. Seven times in verses 3 through 9, David says, David gives and says, the power of that storm, he affirms the power of that storm is by the voice of the Lord. This psalm, it's not just a metaphor for David. He's not just saying this as an example for us. It's more than a metaphor. David is actually pointing us to the power of God and the manifestations of the power of God on this earth that David himself witnessed and experienced. This is not just a metaphor. This is not a psalm or a song of illustration. So great was the storm that David witnessed, that he's referencing here, that he even notes in there, so great was the storm, he even notes the response of the people who were in the temple when this display of God's power was being manifested. And he says that they cry glory in awe, in reverence of the power of God that they saw from there in the temple. This is the power that David's talking about. And then after all of those 11 verses, or 10 verses, you get to verse 11. After all of those verses, David concludes. He concludes this. This is not just the power, the mere power of the nature, of nature unfolding. This is evidence of the power of God. But then in verse number 11, he goes one step further. And he says, this is the power of God that is available to God's people. This is what he says. Let's look at verse number 11 again. I'm going to show you this time from the Amplified Bible. Psalm 29, verse number 11. The Lord will give unyielding and impenetrable strength. The word strength here means power. The Hebrew word actually means strength, might, and his power. So this is saying the Lord will give unyielding, impenetrable strength, power, his power, to his people. This is the promise that we have. David understood this. David understood the reality of this in light of the old covenant. How much more true is this? David said this is power, God's power, available for his people. How much more true is that for you and I under the new covenant in Jesus? His sacrifice is what led the way for the Holy Spirit to come in power to dwell within us and operate through us. How much greater is that statement that David made? How much greater and truer is that for you and I in Jesus Christ? This is the level of expectation that we should have. It's not your power. It is his power at work in you. Now, I've showed you this verse many times over the 3 years, but here it is again because this is one of my favorite verses, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. David was talking about it, and we see it. Paul tells us about the manifestation of what David was talking about. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I can ask for a lot. I can think of a lot. And he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But now here's the key part. According to the power that works in us. It's his power, but it's his power at work in us. We have the authority in Jesus' name. So we speak his word in faith. And that word is backed by the thunderous power, by the thunderous voice of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But there's more to that. There's another element to that that's often overlooked when we talk about things like this. But David, in this short little psalm, David addresses this for us. David actually highlights it. And that's the importance of praise. It's important that we speak the word of God over your situations in your life and over someone else's life. It's important that we pray for people and we speak in the authority of his name and we speak his word in faith. But it's also imperative that we have praise. We have to have praise for him as well. Praise has to be a part of who we are as we are standing and as we're praying. Let's go back and look at verses 1 and 2 again from Psalm 29. But I'm going to look at these from the Amplified Bible. 29, 1 through 2. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. That's talking about praise. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness or in the holy array. Look, I had so many notes on this. I took a third of what was here out just so I could give you only the best. I could talk about this verse for a while. There are so many good things just in that verse alone. But what I want you to see for this moment is the importance of praise. And David highlights the importance of praise. As we speak his word in faith, praise has to be a part of that. If I'm speaking his word in faith, if I'm praying for someone to be healed, for example, if I truly believe the promises of God, if I truly believe that, then when I'm praying, it's almost impossible to not have praise conclude that prayer. It's almost impossible. If I'm praying for you and I say, in the authority of Jesus' name, I speak that their body lines up with the Word of God, that it submits to the Word of God in Jesus' name, how could I not end? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, if I truly believe those words, when I speak those things, you almost can't help yourself from concluding with praise. Because nothing purifies, nothing solidifies, and nothing exemplifies our faith like words of praise that we speak. So speak his word in authority. Speak his word in faith. But be praising him also. Let the praise, because you believe his promises, let that praise be evident as well. Still in verse number 2 of Psalm 29, the Hebrew word that we see there, that we see as beauty, that word actually signifies to adorn. So we are his vessels. We're his vessels serving him. And we adorn him with our praise by our giving voice to his words in faith and in praise. Let me say that again. We adorn him with praise by giving our voice to his word in faith and in praise. Don't need to say it again, or did you get that? I got to see if I can remember it a third time. How did I start that off? I shouldn't have said, you want to hear it again. Ah, yeah. So we are the ones. We give praise to him. We give praise to him. We adorn him with praise by giving our voice to his word in faith and with praise. I can give it to you later if you want to write it down. But let the truth of that sink in to our minds and to what we believe. We should enter into every day with a sense of victory in Jesus Christ. We should have an awareness of the power of the Holy Spirit that works through us as we speak his word in faith. We should have that awareness because on this earth, listen, on this earth, we are the voice that the Holy Spirit moves through with power. We're the voice. What is your expectation? When life brings you troubles, trials, and storms, what's your expectation? Do you expect to be swamped? Do you expect to be defeated? Do you expect to be overwhelmed? Because as you speak over your situation or over other people's situations, as you speak over your situation and others, you should be expecting to be astonished and astounded by what Jesus is going to do. That should be our expectation. Expect to be astounded and astonished in what Jesus is going to do. Because there's too many that don't believe that the Word of God works. What's our level of expectation? What is it that we're thinking and believing? Where are we at in that? Listen to this. This is Paul from Acts chapter 13. Now, when I read this, it may not make sense immediately, but just bear with me. Acts chapter 13, this is verses 40 and 41 from the Amplified Bible. Take care, therefore, lest there come upon you what is spoken of in the prophets. Look, you scoffers and scorners, and marvel and perish and vanish away. For I am doing a deed in your days, a deed which you will never have confidence in or believe in, even if somebody clearly describing it in detail declares it to you. Here's what's happening. Paul is speaking. Paul is giving the good news. And those who are hearing it want more. Paul's giving the good news. They want more. Here's what Paul says. Paul warns them to be careful to not become like the scoffers of Habakkuk's time. He says, be careful to not become like the scoffers. He says, God is doing a great work in this day. And if you knew what it was, you wouldn't believe it. Listen, God is doing a great work in your lives. Do you believe it? Because otherwise we become like the scoffers of Habakkuk's time. There are too many people already in the body of Christ who are scoffers and scorners of the Word of God because they speak what the world says because they don't believe what the Word says. I had a friend who just called me this week and was telling me about a friend of theirs and what they saw on Facebook. This is a Christian friend on Facebook. And this is a paraphrase, but basically what they posted to somebody else who was going through a health matter was they said, I'm glad to hear that you are using common sense and listening to the doctors and what the doctors say instead of just speaking the Word of God like so many Christians do. That was a Christian that said that. Now, it sounds funny when you hear it, but you know, there's many times that if we're not careful, we say things that actually sound like the world instead of sounding like the Word of God. We need to be careful that we don't become the scoffers and the scorners of the Word of God today. And it's evident we scoff and scorn by the things that we say, by the words that we speak out of our mouths. Now, why did Paul use the illustration of Habakkuk's time? The prophet Habakkuk was questioning God, and he was questioning God why perverseness was prevailing. He questioned God why was wickedness always surrounding the righteous. Habakkuk could only see the evil. He couldn't see the goodness of God in life. And listen to how God responded to Habakkuk. This is Habakkuk chapter 1, verse number 5. Again, this is from the Amplified Bible. Look around you, Habakkuk, replied the Lord, among the nations, and see, and be astonished, astounded, for I am putting into effect a work in your days such that you would not believe it if it were told to you. Habakkuk was told by God to look and expect to be astonished and astounded. In this day, today, Jesus is doing great things. He's doing things in your life. He's doing things in your life that you can't even begin to conceive of in your natural mind. Jesus is doing a great thing in this world. I know that the world looks different. But don't become defeated and discouraged because of the signs that you see in the world. Don't be, because God is doing a great thing even in this world. And that's where I want to be. And that's where you want to be too. I don't know what those things are, but that's where I want to be. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to be a part of. Habakkuk's being told, expect, look and expect to be astonished and astounded. The truth of the matter is, we're going to wind up in either one of two camps. We're either going to be expecting to be astonished and astounded at what Jesus does, or we're going to be scoffers and scorners. Those are the only two camps that we can fall into. Look with anticipation to what Jesus can do. In fact, what he's already done. Look with anticipation. Be prepared to be astonished and astounded as you speak the word of God, his word in faith. Expect to be astonished and astounded. David was able to see the power of God in the voice of God. And what David said was, that power is available for God's people. When David said that, he didn't realize it, but he was seeing you. When he said the power of God is available for his people, he was seeing you in Jesus. Because his power flows through the Holy Spirit that is in us. And he flows as you give your voice to his word in faith. Let's expect and be prepared to be astonished and astounded by the things that Jesus does in our lives. Now, Sarah, you can get ready. I had mentioned that David, this is a good day for us to have communion, because I mentioned that David understood these principles. He saw the power of God under the old covenant. How much more true is this for you and I with the new covenant? We're going to partake in the bread and in the cup today. And as we do this, again, remember that the bread represents his body, which is broken for us. Jesus is the Word. So this is, it represents, he's the Word. It represents every promise that we have in the Word of God. So as you're eating the bread, you are eating the promises. You're consuming and taking into yourself the promises. The cup represents the blood that was shed. That's what gives us the right of relationship with God the Father so that we can have those promises. So as we partake today, I just want you to think about the power. When you speak his word in faith, think about the power that you have when you speak his word in faith. As you speak over your situation and over the situations of other people's lives. And then we'll partake together. So here's what I'm going to do. I'll break this, and then we're going to get up. I'll have you guys get up. Everybody, take a piece of bread, take a cup, go back to your seats, and then we'll all partake together. Jesus, after he fulfilled that Passover. He fulfilled that commandment, did the Passover. Then after the Passover, he established the communion. He established something new, the communion in his blood. So he gave thanks. He broke the bread, and he gave thanks. Jesus, we do thank you. We praise you because you are so worthy of praise. We thank you and praise you. I thank you that the Word, all the different verses we looked at today, I thank you that those come back to our remembrance throughout the week, and the Holy Spirit, you continue to speak to us. But I also thank you that as we partake today, we do so with praise in our hearts. We thank you that the cup shows us that by your blood, we have right relationship with you. Right relationship with the Father once again. And we thank you that as we partake in the bread, it is your body broken for us. It's the Word. And we eat that Word. And we praise you and thank you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Why don't you guys come forward and serve yourselves.